The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi guys.
We're not in unison, and guess why?
We're on separate sides of the United States of Amerifunk.
I know. I miss you, Jay.
I miss you too, honey. It feels really weird not to sit in the studio with you and be able to watch your cheeks get red when I say something inappropriate.
It is so strange being home. We got on such a schedule, going to Duo, our favorite Italian restaurant. I feel like there's just a lot missing in my life.
There's so much missing in our life, but I mean, we have the enrichment of having, you know, lovers, family, dogs, everyone's back. But, like, tell me about your extraction there from Rio, because it was a tough one for me. We got separated. You were in a private car. I was in a bus going to the airport. Like, let's just talk everyone through what happened to us.
First off, the airport was insane.
Disaster.
There were never so many good-looking, in-shape people, because they were all Olympians at the airport. Like, usually you're at the airport and you're like, oh, man, that person's a mess. It was just all these really buff athletes walking by with their jackets with different countries named on the back, which was fun to watch, but also so chaotic. It took 2 hours to get through customs.
Yeah, it was such a scene. But I too noticed, like, France, Russia, you know, just these beautiful, like, specimens of men just strolling by with their luggages. And it was very inspiring. I was wearing a black dress and sunglasses, so nobody would recognize me.
I was practically in PJs. Oh, Johnny, guess what happened on my flight? So
what?
I picked my seat that I wanted to go in, and because I was flying Air Canada, and they – I don't know if you know this, but it takes them, like, 3 hours to serve the meal. And I was like, I need to sleep. So I picked a seat further up. And then as I'm getting off the plane, like – I give them my ticket and it starts ringing. And of course, I'm like, oh, great. Something's wrong. I'm going to be detained.
Wait, what starts ringing?
Like as I'm walking on.
Oh, that little buzzy thing.
Yeah, it starts ringing and they start looking at my ticket. I'm like, oh, God, what is happening? And then they give me another ticket and it's with a different seat number. And I'm like, oh, that's strange. I get on and a nice flight attendant comes over and says, so your seat doesn't recline. And I was like, well,
what?
Yes. And I was like, well, I picked my seat. And she's like, yes, it's a very long story. I'm sorry. I'm going to, you know, try to make this up to you afterwards. And, you know, I don't know if that means they're going to give me miles or something.
I would ask for money. Don't they know you have fake hips?
But, yeah. But literally, someone was more important and got my seat because they knew that the seat was broken. So they kicked me out of my seat to put me in a seat that didn't recline. So I was not happy. And
well, as I can imagine, but like...
Didn't sleep.
Who took your seat? Did you look at them?
I did. It was this man. I don't know who it was. Obviously, someone much more VIP than me. So
I'll bet it was Johnny Knoxville.
So anyway, that happened. And Johnny, I have, you know this, the worst luck flying. We remember what happened coming to Rio with the man that had the unfortunate incident and went
pooping,
to the bathroom in the aisle.
Bad himself, yeah.
Right. But then I get there and get this. So then in Canada, the way you go through customs is you wait in a room. I don't know if you've done this, Jay, but you wait in a room and they take a picture of your bag, supposedly, and then your name will pop up on a screen. It's very confusing.
What?
Yes. And you have to wait there and then it will be like Rio is processing, but then the names are going so fast and it didn't matter for me because I literally was the last person in that room at 7:30 when my flight was taking off at 7:50. And finally it went through. I have no idea what went wrong. And I'm running. They're like, you know, last boarding call. And I made it by seconds. So I got on that plane and was just so happy to get home.
Did your luggage actually make it to
It did. I wasn't
LA?
Expecting
well,
it. But it
yeah,
did.
Let's be thankful for that. But, I mean, I am pretty much always against Air Canada. So I was really upset when I realized you were on Air Canada. I've been on it a lot. It never impresses me. And they do things because, you know, Canadians are good at waiting in line. They do things that are polite, like, oh, this man has a bad back. We're going to move seats. I ask for an extra pillow sometimes because I have a bad back.
Right.
And that's when, you know, you're in a full lay down, like, business class international bed situation.
Right.
But you know what? For you, you're so small.
But I can't sleep if I'm not laying down. And I have trouble sleeping.
Even if you have a lay down, you don't sleep on the plane.
I know.
So I mean, maybe it's a non-issue. But I think, you know, you really proved a lot to me by doing it. I'm proud of you.
Oh, my God. I have so many funny stories for you since I've been home.
It's been 2 days.
I know, but I don't know where to start. So let me – I just have to give you this little tidbit. So I'm laying in bed. This is the first night that I'm home. And I wake up in the middle of the night. I don't know what's been happening. You know, I've been waking up and screaming.
Yes.
So I wake up this time, but I wake up because I'm so hot. But I sleep with, like, the air at 60, so I'm weird like that. So I knew it was on, and I'm like, I don't know why my body's so hot. So you know what I thought, Johnny. I'm dying. Right?
Like, definitely heart attack, dying, aneurysm, something horrible is happening. But meanwhile, you just had a big man and a big dog on either side of you.
Right. So I wake up, though, panicked. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so hot. I went out, I checked the air, and I came back, and I was like, it's 3 a.m. There's nothing else to do but wake up Todd Cap. So I flip on the lights. And then when I looked at the lights, I had, like, these, like, I felt like they were hot spots. So now it's this ongoing joke with Todd because I was like, Todd, look at my knee. There's like this red hot spot. And if you touch it, it's very hot. And he's looking at me like I've lost my mind. I don't know if I like woke up in a weird dream, but I was panicked about hot spots on my body. And I have no idea what was happening. I wake up and he's like, oh, how's that hot spot on your knee? And I don't know why in the moment I was so freaked out, why I was so hot and why there was like hot spots that weren't really there. Anyways, well,
it was
just vapor.
It was vapors from the vapors from the electrical units in your house.
I was like, I swear I see a red spot, don't you? He's like, no. Anyways.
How is Todd Cap? Where did he take you to dinner the first night you were back?
We went to this. Oh, my God. This is another funny. I hate not being with you. Let's just put it that way.
I don't like
this
it.
This sucks.
I haven't had one glass of wine.
I have. So we went to this new Italian restaurant and had the best pasta. But we sat next to a really weird family, Johnny. So they were there. It was two kids and four adults. And then
paint the scene, though. Like,
okay.
Who were they? What were they wearing?
First off, we're on Montana Avenue. There's this Italian restaurant I always wanted to try, but it always looked closed. And I was like, let's just try it. We go in. It's like Duo, our Rio restaurant. It's really cute, quaint. And these people come in and, you know, normal family with two kids, probably, I would say, like 7 and 10. And they eat dinner. And then all of a sudden I hear the dad, I look over and the girl has her head face down on the table, okay, with her arms crossed in front of them. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then I hear the dad go to the son, put your head down. And the kid,
why?
Put your head down on the table. And I can't stop staring. And so I'm like, Todd, you have to listen to this. And the kid is like 10. He's like, Dad, this is so stupid. Why do I have to do this? Like, I hate you. And he's like, put your head on the table. So then all of a sudden the kid like cleared his plates and did the same thing as his sister. And he had his head down on the table and they just laid there like that through the rest of dinner.
You know why? This is why I don't like California. That weird stuff is acceptable out there. Do you think it was like a religious thing, though?
I don't know. Maybe. So I shouldn't be laughing, but I don't think
so. Well, no, it's perfectly acceptable to laugh. I wouldn't think
so.
It sounds to me like you're preparing for like a natural disaster. You know, there are earthquakes out there in California. But let me, before we continue, we want to send out our heartfelt prayers to Italy and everyone affected by the earthquake.
Terrible.
But yeah, you would think in that sort of a situation, I mean, we used to do that in grade school when we were preparing for tornadoes, like when we had to do a tornado drill. You go out in the hall, you put your head between your knees, and you cover your neck with your hands.
Right.
But not at a restaurant.
Not at a nice Italian restaurant. And the parents were laughing, having a good time, drinking, and those poor kids had to have their heads down.
Well, maybe it's you know how some older people will say, like, Charlie, put your earmuffs on when they want to talk about something dirty or use curse words. Maybe it was like, don't watch mommy and daddy being whores with one another. Put your heads down.
Quite possibly. But anyway, that was my weird experience at dinner.
You know what? We when we were still, do you remember in Rio, we were going to dinner at Duo and that child scared me so badly because he just kind of snuck up on me.
Oh, my
do
goodness.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I was thinking about that just today. No, not like in the restaurant.
Yes.
Remember the little guy?
Yeah, yes. You shrieked, so, though, when he came by
I shrieked, because, and he scared me. Like, I had that thing where the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and your spine sort of collapses.
So let me paint this picture as he's telling you how scary he was. We're sitting at a restaurant and a mom.
Dimly lit restaurant.
Right. But a mom and a cute little toddler were kind of strolling around, and the toddler came too close to Johnny. And
clearly had just learned to walk. He was wobbly.
Flipped out. Was so surprised and shrieked. So,
well, you and I were in a deep conversation about the future and Mars, and
yes.
All of a sudden there was a child like underneath my dress,
oh.
And my petticoats. Like, what was I supposed to do with that?
Petticoats. I love
but I don't know where it came from. But anyway, I don't have so many amazing stories from flying home. I mean, I was on the NBC charter, and my row was super glamorous. It was row 4. Business class, NBC charter, you know, super high wasp, super chic. And I had a Carrillo, a Costas, Andrea Joyce, Elisa Noonan, and then one other person, I forget who it was. And it was just the most glamorous row. I bought an entire bag because, you know, I was super hungover when we flew home. So I bought an entire bag of Toblerones that I was munching on throughout the flight. Have you ever had a white chocolate Toblerone? No, you wouldn't.
No, not white chocolate.
Yeah. They have dark chocolate Toblerones as well in this multi-bag.
I should try that. Yeah, you know what I love? The Magnum ice cream bars, the dark chocolate. I got some yesterday at the grocery store. I don't eat the ice cream. I just pick off the chocolate. Magical.
There's nothing more magical than a frozen chocolate.
Yeah. So, you had a fancy flight, though. Costas.
I mean, Bob Costas, Mary Carrillo, all sitting in the same row laughing. But at that point, like, after a whole month of like, hello, how are you? Every 5 seconds, I was just kind of done. Like, I was hungover. I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Should we mention the night before?
No.
No.
We can't.
There was one cute moment, though, I'd like to. Johnny, when he is a little tipsy, is the cutest. Like,
I'm super nice.
Yeah, flutters at watching him. He's so nice. You always are nice. You're the perfect gentleman. But
when
you're tipsy, you're just really funny. And I remember we came in. So literally just think everyone from NBC that's staying at the Hilton comes to the lobby bar the last night and gets wasted and like
bombed. quote of the trip, Tara Lipinski, tonight let's get bombed. And she said it like a frat boy, bombed, man, bruh.
And of course I went to bed way too early and missed out on all the fun. And
I don't remember all the fun, so you weren't really missing out.
But I remember when we came in, it was so crowded and there was not one chair open. And Johnny, I don't know if you remember this, you were like upset that I wasn't sitting. So you went to like 6 different people and you're like, she needs a stool. And they're like, we have none. You said, I don't know what you said. You go to the 9th floor and get one. And they did.
They did. They brought us down several, in fact, because, you know, you were busy with Todd Kapp a few of the nights and I was busy drinking.
Holding
in the lobby
court.
With my new friends. Holding court.
Mommy holds court.
Mommy holds court. So I knew all these people. Like, they were my friends by the end of the trip. And I was just like, you know what? First of all, I'm not standing. Second of all, my little lady is up with us tonight. She is certainly not standing. And maybe one extra, just in case we decide to invite a friend. We also sat, like, near that area, like, the waist area of the bar.
Right.
Where they have those, you know, filthy mats that all smell like pineapple juice.
Oh, man. But you know what? I missed out on stuff because I saw like a picture of you with all the servers behind the bar. You got behind the bar. I don't know if you were serving drinks, but yeah, I missed out on a lot.
You didn't miss out on so much. Like, I, you know what? At a certain point, like, I wasn't even cute anymore. I was just drunk. So, and when that happens, you know, I end up like petting security dogs
and
or
no
forgetting
one's there
where I
like
live.
Me to fix your weave when it starts to kind of fall
certainly
out
not.
In front
so
of your
like,
face.
My weave basically sometimes will look like a fascinator. It's no longer just fake hair that's on top of my hair where the hair should be. It's like a full-on British wedding or funeral fascinator hat thing.
Yeah, and because Mariola, his hair artist, puts in like 6,000, you start to get frustrated with it. So you start itching and pulling, and then all of a sudden it starts like leaning.
And then repinning like the one piece of bang that fell out.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ordeal. It takes a lot to be us. But no, after you left, I didn't stay down much longer. I just, you know, I was drunk. I didn't even remember having the picture that's on Instagram now. If you got P.S. If you guys don't already follow us on Instagram, it's at Tara and Johnny, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir. But anyway, I found this picture with the bartenders, and I had no memory of doing it. And then Elise Noonan, who really helped Tara and I the whole time we were in Rio.
Awesome.
So, Elise, if you're listening, thanks, Elise.
Hi, I miss you too.
But she, you know, said, oh, I took that picture. But I had absolutely no memory. Anyway, afterward, like the next day, I was just super anti being around people. Hello, how are you? Because that's not me anyway. Like, I like to sit in like a funky crust of an atmospheric mood and, you know, stare. Bella's busy.
I mean, Bella is busy. So, I was just happy to get home, to be honest, at that point. I knew I was going to miss you, but Rio, it really took a toll. It expired. So yeah. It was time to go home, and it's nice that it's not getting dark at 5 o'clock anymore.
When I got home, I was really ambitious. Like, our plane landed at what was 4:30 in the morning. I ran through Newark Airport, which is our point of entry back to the United States of America. Had to find a porter because obviously I had not 9 anymore, but 10 suitcases because NBC gave us, you know, the gifty
extra
one. So I had 10. So I was looking for a porter, and there are no porters that work at Newark at like 5 in the morning. So I was essentially poaching anybody. Like, there was just a random tourist on the side of the thing that had a luggage cart. And I was like, hey, if I give you $20, can you get me a luggage cart and then help me to the curb? And they were like, no, sir, ma'am, I have a connecting flight. Why are you wearing a black dress? Anyway, it was a big ordeal to find a porter. Like, he had to be called from some other terminal, and it was a whole thing. Got in the car, turned on House of Cards, and fell asleep. Woke up at my house, and the puppy was with my parents at their house. So, like, all I did was kind of go up, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be really gentle with myself today. I'm not going to push myself. I'm not going to completely unpack and rehang and steam.
You did. Fold. Of course you did.
I did it. I completely unpacked, and then I was like, you know what? All of the loaner clothes, you can send those tomorrow. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, Johnny.
Oh, you sent them today.
Mommy sent them today. I went to the UPS store. I boxed it all up. You can imagine what the UPS store looked like down here in Delaware, because they aren't used to somebody that just rolls in with like 16 completely sequined blazer jackets and pink feather coats and folding it and bubble wrapping everything. So I completely terrified the UPS store. Then I went home and I laid down with the puppy for the entire day, and he was so excited, like he almost came through. There's a puppy height window at my parents' home that he can look out of, and it's really awful when I actually am leaving to go someplace, because he'll basically perch up on it, and his little smushed face, he'll just kind of peer out very longingly as I'm driving away, no matter if I'm going to work or if I'm going for 3 weeks. So he was looking through that window because he heard my car pull up, and it's almost like he couldn't believe it. He was going to come through the window at me. And then I came inside, and he couldn't even scream, which is what he usually does when I arrive home. And he'll, like, make little crying noises, but he couldn't even get it out. Like, he was just so pleased and excited.
That you
were
home.
Immediately,
aww.
I sat down.
So you guys had a lazy day together?
We had 2 lazy days. Yesterday, I got into a full crust as I was doing laundry. Today's the first day, like, I had to come out of the house today. It's the first day I put on deodorant since I've been home. So,
well, that's
really winning. Yeah, well, I just, you know what? I haven't shaved. I didn't moisturize in the morning. I'm very scruffy. Oh, did Todd Cap shave before you got home?
Yes, he's all clean shaven, although he needs a haircut. He's getting a little puffy on the sides. He picked me up at the airport, and he looked very cute. You know what's funny? Because you're not at the airport with me, when I have to get my bags, I trick the people next to me to the point where they start leaving because they know what I'm doing. So, like, the first huge bag will come out, and I'll be like, oh, you know, excuse me, is there any way that you could help me with this? And they're like, oh, sure, got it. And then, like, they think it's over. And then there's, like, 5 more to come. And I do the same thing. Like, oh, I just have 1 more. And then they're, like, by the 3rd one, they're like, I need to get away from this girl.
This woman. Meanwhile, you're asking, like, a 90-year-old woman with 1 leg and a cane to help you get your massive suitcases off the belt.
I always look for men with muscles. Anyway, Johnny.
Don't we all?
Johnny, we got to end the segment, but I just need to say we have a very special guest coming up.
Super special guest.
You guys
better
are going to be shocked.
Get excited.
So fun. Okay, so we'll be back.
Be back.
And all new Seinfeld is back. 1 part sitcom.
You told me you had a great time, said you'd call me the next day.
Well, I'm sure I meant to call.
One part stand-up.
What do you do at the end of a date when you know
you don't want to see this person ever again for the rest of your life.
No matter what you say, it's a lie. I'll see you around. Take care now. Take off. Isn't that what you really want to say? Take off now.
Seinfeld on NBC Wednesday, 9:30, 8:30 Central.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Tara and Johnny podcast. So we have a super special guest. And no, it is not Toucan Sam. My mother, Miss Patty Weir, is joining us on the podcast. Hi, Mama.
Hi, Patty. Patty.
Hi. How are you both?
Good.
Good. So we, you know, we had another guest that canceled. So you were second place, our second option. And we wanted to know some things like, what do you think of me and Tara?
Yeah. What did you first, let's go back. So the let's first time you saw us working together, being together, doing the Tara and Johnny thing, what did you think, Patty?
And this is a podcast. You don't really have to be politically correct or anything because Tara and I, you know, we talk about everything.
Yes.
Including politics.
Well, naturally, the first thing I was worried about was two skaters trying to work together. Because coming from the world that you came from, it doesn't happen that often.
A little cutthroat. the skating
exactly.
world.
Exactly.
Yes. I feel like we mentioned that in every single podcast,
right.
How cutthroat we,
the
world is that we
now.
Come from. Like well, we're from the mean streets of somewhere, you know?
Well, especially the girls. I mean, the boys over the years have been much better than the girls, but the girls and the girls' mothers, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's intense.
Yes. But when I first saw you guys together and listened to you together and saw you physically together, I thought, you know, this might be a really good thing. It really might. So I was impressed how easily you two got along and how easily you molded into each other's lives is truly how I felt.
Yeah, my mom, obviously loves Johnny and loves us together. But I don't know about you. Obviously, Johnny, you know, I would never be protecting Johnny. And it's a different relationship that we have. But my mom loves Johnny so much. They barely ever speak, probably at the engagement party. And every once in a while, like, you'll see my mom, Johnny. But you have no idea how much my mother talks about you. And when I'm at, you know, Sochi or Nationals or Rio, she will always send a text like, I'm just so glad Johnny's there by your side. Makes me so happy. You guys are so cute.
I know I spoke to your mom when you guys first went to Sochi because she was very, very nervous
yes.
about you going to Russia.
Yes.
And your mom and I did speak on the phone then, and I kept assuring her that she had nothing to worry about. As long as Johnny had a breath left in his body, that you would be fine.
Yes.
If he didn't, then you might be in trouble, but you would be fine as long as he was there to take care of you.
And he sure does.
Tara terrifies her mother into submission about health, about world issues, because she's so OCD and so scaredy cat about a lot of things. She'll really work her mom up. Do I do that to you? Do you worry about us when we travel?
I was particularly worried about this trip, only because of all the things that you heard about Rio. And then, of course, being back here in the States, the stuff that they put on Facebook or people put on Facebook that was happening there, as a parent, you sit back and you think, holy crap, what am I going to do? My kids are down there. So, you know, people getting attacked in the streets and being robbed and people pulling people's backpacks off. And then when you do reach out and not be able to get through on the telephone, then you even worry worse. But
and then, you know, we're probably hiding some things from you because we definitely did. Because when I got home, Johnny, I told my mom about our night driving at the bottom of the favela.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So Patty, one night towards the end, we went to do Ryan Seacrest. It was the last night, actually, the mm-hmm. beach show. And
In the rain.
And we get back into the bus at like 2 a.m. We're with Elise. We're with Dahani Jones. And all of a sudden, we realize we're like taking a different way. There's like two ways to go. And we're going through this neighborhood that, you know, I have never seen before. All of a sudden, I hear Dahani, you know, the big football player, starting to get nervous in the back seat, like checking his map.
He's a big man.
Yeah.
If anything happened, he was going to protect us.
Right. But he was like checking his map and talking about it and getting a little concerned. And then, you know, then I realized we weren't stopping at red lights. And that's when later I realized someone had told us, oh, no, you were going down this path and you're at the pretty much the bottom of favela. And in that neighborhood, you know, it's quite dangerous that you can't stop at red lights. You just have to beep, beep right through them. And that was my scariest experience, I think. And when I told my mom, she's like, see, you never tell me anything. I can't trust you at all.
And I think sometimes it's better that we don't know, but oh my God. I mean, didn't the bus driver know that they were screwing up?
Well, the bus driver is the one that took us on that terrible the terrible route, because there in Rio, there was either a way you could cut directly through a mountain and get to the suburb where we were living, or you can go around this huge mountain, which took, you know, forever. He took us in this really long, like, there's no traffic at 2:30 in the morning in Rio, out there anyway, and we should have gotten home in a solid 20 minutes. It took like an hour and 10.
Yeah, it was long. You know what else I want to... I feel like I have so many questions for your mom, Johnny. Sorry, I'm sort of hijacking the question game.
No, bring it.
But
I talk to her all the time.
One thing, and I feel like I need to tell you this too. I say it a lot, but I don't know if you know this, but I have never met a guy that it has the best manners. I mean, Johnny is the perfect gentleman. It's probably from you, but it could be just, you know, Johnny naturally. But what did you do when he was growing up to make him like that?
Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, you have to have manners to get through life. I'm a firm believer in that. If someone holds the door for you, you say thank you. If someone opens the door for you, you say thank you. You say please. It's just the way that I raised him and Boz. I mean, I think Boz is as mannerly as Johnny, but I just...
For those that are listening that don't know, I have a younger brother named Boz. That's who Boz is.
But I worked hard at manners. I worked hard at making sure he was a gentleman.
Oh, it paid off. He opens every door... He
should.
Yes, he's such a good boy.
And it's not that you can't open the door for yourself. And it's weird because I, you know, his father's mannerly, very mannerly with me. But to me, and I'm all for women being able to open the door themselves, but, you know, if you're there, I taught my boys that's what you do.
Yeah, no, Patty, I don't want to open the door myself.
Yeah, if I'm there, I'll open it. If I'm there, I'll open it. If there's a bag to be carried, I will carry it if need be.
Johnny, what else should we ask your mom while we have her?
I mean, I feel like to talk about skating a little bit, because you and I always talk about the cutthroatedness of skating and how backstabbing it can be. But I feel like just asking a pros and cons, because we know your mom wasn't like, did not love skating or the skating world. And I think my mom, you know, had a very love-hate relationship with it, but it was primarily love. Like, my mom still will watch skating, and not just because we're commentating it, but because she enjoys the sport. So I feel like getting an outside perspective of what it's like to mother a skater might be interesting.
What was it like, Patty?
Well, I can tell you I do love the sport. I loved it before Johnny skated, and I still love it. Once you get involved in it, you learn the politics of it, and that truly dims your light a little bit.
Scares you a bit.
Yes, it does. This time of year, I still, after all this time, find myself getting a different kind of feeling in my stomach because it's like, okay, Grand Prix's coming up. You know, you got to make sure your crap's together for Grand Prix. Got to make sure your costumes are done, your music's doing run-throughs.
It's almost like back to school.
Yes, yes. So I am one mother that does miss that. But this time of year, I do miss it. I'm excited for the young parents that are going out on the Grand Prix, the Junior Grand Prix, because there's just so many things, you know, the federation tells you to do and not to do, and don't dress this way, and don't call any attention to yourself, and learn your place when you're in a foreign country. So they have you scared as hell when you first start going out. And then by the time you're senior, you're fine because you've got this down and you've streamlined your luggage and you're actually staying at hotels that have elevators. And,
right.
But it's an experience that Johnny and I got to have together, and I've seen so much of the world that I wouldn't have seen without him skating. But to this day, I do miss it. I would go watch you guys compete tomorrow and wouldn't even blink an eye.
Well, you know what you can watch now is mommy videos. How do you feel about our mommy videos?
Oh, dear God. When he told me the premise of the mommy videos, I'm like, oh, my God, she's going to be so pissed off at you. But because when I first saw them, Tara, I knew there's no way this is after me because I didn't.
Tara, don't say anything.
I won't.
Well, if it is patterned after me,
No, it's a combination, definitely, of what Tara and I grew up with. And the combination of what Tara and I grew up with.
I hear Johnny getting really nervous right now.
Yeah, my voice just got choked up. Yeah, it's a combination of both of our mothers and things that we saw also around the rink. So it isn't just strictly Pat or Patty. It's a bit of Pat, Patty, and Marsha, and Lydia, and whoever else was around the rink. But, you know, remember that time Tara and I have talked about it?
For my mom, the going back to Texas is we're going home. That is a Pat Lipinski. She laughs at that every time. She loves the mommy videos.
No, Pat loves the mommy videos. She actually texted us in Rio and was like, well, I'm waiting for a mommy video.
Yeah.
So she kind of like pushed us to do one. But
I love them, except when Johnny starts shrieking sometime. It's like, oh, my God. And then if he's dressed with the weave on, he'll get the top. His whole top of his head moves.
Well, Mommy gets so angry. Mommy just gets livid. What advice would you give to a young parent that's kind of just starting out in that junior Grand Prix or even a first year on the Grand Prix on with a child that's talented enough to be on the Olympic track? Like, what did you learn that you wish you'd been prepared for before you actually got into it all?
I think the greatest thing a parent needs to remember is, A, that the coach works for them. You don't work for the coach.
Snap.
Mommy doesn't like it.
Mommy hates it. Mommy pays for
Mommy it. Mommy pays for this.
I think you have to listen to your child, and if they don't want to skate to big band music, you can take your big band music and take it someplace else.
Exactly. If you want to skate to Speed the Soundtrack, then you skate to Speed the Soundtrack.
I mean, Tara, can you honestly imagine Johnny skating to big band marching music?
No.
Because that's what they were pushing him towards.
Oh, goodness.
I think you have to.
Also jazz.
And
they
jazz.
Because they thought that was going to manly me up. Can you imagine me in a slinky, fringy dress skating to jazz?
But I think for a young parent.
With a fan.
Yeah. You don't have to have the best choreography. If your child's truly gifted, your child will be gifted with one coach, one pair of skates, and maybe some spin lessons, if it's there. If it's not, quit having coaches telling you that, A, you need 18 coaches, you need a choreographer, you need a ballet class, you need a workout class, you need all this other crap to try and make this child that's truly not going to get there. But then you just have to stay listening to your child, no matter how old they are. They don't want that music. They don't want that costume. Johnny refused to wear brown. We tried to press him into brown clothing, and oh, my God. It was like, but you have to listen. And the biggest thing is don't get railroaded by the Federation, and don't get railroaded by coaches telling you what you have to do and not have to do. Because you don't have to do a damn thing. It's your child, and it's them. It's you.
No, that's good advice. My mom was obviously took that advice as well. Like, one of our coaches wanted would do weigh-ins in the morning. And my mom was like, absolutely not.
No, there's just no way.
No.
There's enough girls that eat and go in the bathroom after they're done
right.
eating. And there's enough guys that do that. But it's just to the point where it just amazed me the amount of parents that you'd meet that they'd say, oh, no, well, my child has to have this choreographer because my coach is insisting on it. And we're not going to be able to pay our car payment for 6 months because we have to pay this choreographer because our coach is insisting on it. Well,
right.
That's crap. You're in control. That coach works for you. You're lending your child to the Federation. You're not giving your child to the Federation.
Right.
But there's a backlash with that, too, because obviously they couldn't get their arms around my kid because he was just a little too unique and I made him a free thinker. And they all have to learn to know your child.
Mommy says, back off.
Mommy says,
back off.
Step off.
But I envy them because they're starting on their journey, and through figure skating, figure skating is a wonderful sport. It really is. It's a beautiful sport, but it's just you have to stay true to yourself, who you are, and keep that in mind of why you got involved in the first place.
There is no set path to success in anything. Yeah, I mean, make a plan and God's going to laugh at you. So nobody gets to the same place in the same exact way as somebody before them. So if you're trusting in somebody that is saying, well, I had this great champion or I had this great scholar and this is how we did it, you can take some inspiration from that, but everyone's road is very different. Mama, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Patty.
Yeah, so
Tara, my pleasure. Make sure you tell Pat I said hi when you talk to her today.
I will.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay,
if
hope
she
to
does.
See you soon.
I hope to see you soon, too. Come east or we'll come west.
Yeah, I like that. We should get the moms together, Johnny, one day.
I think so. We'll have tea.
Well, I love the sport, and your mom's a little bit discouraged with it. But maybe I could swing her back around just to watch the Grand Prix series.
Well, no, we'd love to have you both as extras in a mommy video, like just walking
by
in the background.
Exactly.
Also in bonnets from Amish country.
Well, I was a mother of a guy, and we didn't stare. Skating moms stare. They learned that patented skating stand in the Lutz corner stare early on.
The Lutz corner. The Lutz corner.
On
I haven't heard that
note.
One in a long day.
This was fun today, Johnny.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm happy we're back from Rio. I'm happy we got to talk to Mummy. And no, this was perfect. I miss you so badly, though.
I know. I miss you, too. I think we need to install like a FaceTime sort of app here so I can see your face while we do this.
As long as it's not attached to a robotic body and gets weird on me, I'm fine with it. But on that note, everybody, this brings us to the end of our podcast. And we want to thank all 19 billion of you that are listening to this podcast. We so appreciate you joining us for our happy times. And we love going on your 6-mile runs with you. We love going to the grocery store, driving the kids to school with you. And we're just so, so appreciative of all of you. And we love you very much.
So thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.